Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez, and today we're going to talk about a very interesting topic. We're going to talk about multimedia or maximum impact, how you can raise your law firm's brand awareness with podcasts and videos. Our guest today is my dear friend and someone I've known in the legal marketing world for a long time, Rosa Colon. Rosa is the marketing technology manager at Lowenstein & Sandler. Rosa manages the firm's day-to-day digital marketing needs, including their website, website development and maintenance, optimization and analytics, email marketing, experience management, CRM, ERM, and multimedia production. For nearly 50 years, Rosa has had the opportunity to work both in-house and as a vendor, helping professional services firms garner and streamline their technologies. In her spare time, Rosa enjoys learning to code and listening to podcasts. She provided leadership to the LMA New York by co-chairing the LMA Next SIG, previously the Future Leader SIG. She is also a member at large for the SIG chair, and most recently as the 2020 vice chair and 2022 immediate past chair of the New York Local Steering Committee. Welcome to the show, Rosa.
Thank you, guys. So happy to be here.
So happy to have you. That's a very impressive bio. My goodness, I didn't know you had so much going on. How do you sleep?
Very little sleep, very little.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm so happy to have you on the show today. I'm dying to dive into the topic, but before we do so, tell our audience a little bit about yourself. Like, how did you get into legal marketing?
So the LMA, actually, the Legal Marketing Association, had a lot to do with it. I had graduated from university. I had secured an internship. This was 2008. So, you know, it was a difficult time for many people to find employment, but I was extremely fortunate. I found an internship in professional service marketing. And at night, I was a coat check girl to help supplement my income at the time. And I met somebody in the Legal Marketing Association. She introduced me to the organization. She invited me to attend programs and networking events. And from that opportunity, I joined a firm, an accounting firm in the city, as their marketing technology coordinator. And you could say the rest is history. I have been very lucky to be at various law firms. And I also, for several years, worked at Future as a project manager, account manager there.
Wow, I love it. I think I met you when you were either when you were working at Future or right before, but I remember you meeting you at an LMA party. So a real success story when it comes to LMA and getting people into the profession. So fantastic. So Rosa, let's talk a little bit about multimedia, specifically multimedia marketing. So first, let me ask you, obviously, you know, depending on who you talk to, we're either at the end of the pandemic, in the middle of the pandemic, who knows, day to day. But from your perspective, how has the pandemic affected the world of law firm marketing?
Sure. That's a loaded question, Guy. I feel like how much time do we have together?
not that long, but I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well, speaking from a marketing technology perspective at Lowenstein Sandler and from my various conversations with people in the industry, it seems like this has been the same at many law firms. It definitely expedited many of our team's initiatives. At Lowenstein, pre-pandemic, we already had attorneys who were prolific in generating news and insights. And I think during the pandemic and even today, the circumstances surrounding the pandemic created even more opportunities for this. And there was so much changing day to day, week to week, that the attorneys at Lowenstein really rose to that challenge. Our CMO who is a friend of yours, I know, Kevin Iredell, has anecdotally stated this in the past, and it's actually really true. You know, it was like he had a crystal ball in many ways. Many of the initiatives we had already set out to accomplish in Q1 of 2020 couldn't have been more perfectly timed for, you know, the pandemic. For example, we had implemented our partnership with content aggregators such as JDU Supra and Lexology. We had just kicked off the implementation of our experience management database. We had begun in earnest our search engine optimization efforts for the firm's main website, Lowenstein.com. And we sought out the assistance of consultants like you, Guy, at Good to Be Social for creating podcasts, and Robert Weiss at Multivision for creating videos for the firm. So as a result of these efforts, we saw tangible results. Again, just as an example, and from a marketing technology perspective, for instance, our site visitor traffic doubled in 2020 from the previous year. And again, in 2021, we saw a 100% increase in site visitor traffic. And even now, 2 years later, our site visitor traffic and page views remain very strong.
That is fantastic. So what prompted the firm to consider podcasts and videos as part of your marketing and business development strategy?
As I mentioned, our journey into creating podcasts began in 2019. Our attorneys were already generating so much of what's considered traditional law firm marketing and written content, client alerts, articles, publications, speaking engagements, media mentions, etc. With the pandemic in 2020 and in-person networking opportunities still limited, and attorneys under increased pressure to extend and maximize their business development outreach, our firm leadership agreed to support its marketing and business development team in executing on more efficient and effective ways to reach our target audiences. And for us, because many of our firm's clients are entrepreneurial and tech savvy, we thought it was very important to demonstrate a comfort level on the platforms our clients and their customers use, and in a way that made it easy for our attorneys as well. We also wanted to reach law school graduates through the media that they frequent, and to, of course, impress laterals in ways that would differentiate us from other firms. Our CMO felt strongly, and it's been verified through various surveys, that new media like podcasts and videos are alternatives that are highly effective in communicating thought leadership, as well as core values such as innovation and diversity. So through our work with experts like Good to Be Social and Living Group, which for those who are unfamiliar is a global branding agency, we learned that both videos and podcasts offer time and cost-efficient ways to reach those business development targets. Improve SEO, higher engagement numbers, more impactful touch points for both internal and external audiences. So for all those reasons and more, it was a natural addition to our overall marketing and business development strategy. It took about a year before we went live with our first series, but now a little bit more than a year later, we're approaching our 70th episode aired and just recently launched our sixth series, Regulatory Matters.
Fantastic. Congratulations. So what would you say was your biggest challenge when it comes to both videos and podcasts? You know, because attorneys are not necessarily, you know, cozy with technology. A lot of them fear it. A lot of attorneys hate to see themselves on video or listen to their voice. So what did you find to be the biggest challenge as you undertook this endeavor?
Getting started. Getting started was the biggest challenge. I think that at Lowenstein, we're very lucky in that our attorneys are very willing to try initiatives like this. But convincing them to do it and actually getting it done is really the biggest hurdle. Like I said, we're now on our sixth series, and I think a lot of that is just because one of our attorneys took the initiative to be the first to do it. And once everyone saw how successful she was and how easy of a process it was, you know, everyone else followed suit.
Awesome. Tell us a little bit about your podcast production process. And then once you have the podcast completed, how do you actually promote them?
So in the beginning, naturally, it was a lot of legwork and making sure we train the team, purchasing and distributing high quality microphones, especially because, you know, everybody was remote. So figuring out, you know, where they would be, for instance, scheduling in sound checks, those sorts of logistics. Now that we're, like I said, a little bit more than a year into producing our various series, which include our insurance recoveries podcast, Don't Take No for an Answer, the Lowenstein's Employee Benefits and Executive Compensation podcast called Just Compensation, our Trust and Estates series, Splitting Heirs, our Women's Initiative Network podcast, Real Talk, our Managing Partners Corner with Gary Wingens, and finally, our Regulatory Compliance and Dispute Resolution podcast, Regulatory Matters. You know, today our production process is as straightforward as humanly possible. That has been really important for me personally as the person project managing and collaborating with my colleagues on the business development team. Hopefully our attorneys and guests, they feel the same way. Our attorneys and guest speakers are so busy. Our goal is to make a space for them to share all the wonderful knowledge and insight that they have, and we take it from there. And when I say we, it's truly a collaborative effort with the attorneys, their guests, business development, marketing communications, our branding and social media team, and of course, our vendors. We each play an important role in becoming this well-oiled machine that now any given week, Lowenstein as a firm is releasing 1 to 3 podcast episodes across our 6 different series. In terms of promotion, we do all the traditional avenues of posting across a firm's social media, posting on our website, promoting on our homepage, asking our attorneys and their guests to share with their network, whether that be, again, on social media or distributing with an e-alert, for instance. So that's what we do today, and we're doing it on a weekly basis now.
Fantastic. That's so great, Rosa. So how are you measuring success? How do you know if what you're doing is working?
Metrics, lots of metrics. As a group, we are continuously working on developing and reporting persuasive metrics that measure the effectiveness of these initiatives and how they complement all of our other marketing and business development efforts being performed by the firm. This isn't in a silo, right? When one of our attorneys has a podcast, we're always encouraging them to repurpose the content by creating articles, publications, sharing within their networks and their various organizations, depending on the practice group area. And now that we have so many different series under our belt, there's some friendly competition amongst the groups as well. Some of the top questions I get whenever I do deliver reports is which series is performing the best in comparison with the others, which is great. I welcome that. But what has really been so rewarding to see is how well each of these series has performed within its area. Each series is so unique and they all offer practical and actionable advice. So our challenge now is creating new avenues for sharing all of this information and making sure that we're targeting the right audiences.
And have you had any success stories, any, you know, attorneys say something or your clients say something, any interesting work that has come out of the podcast at all?
Yes, I have several success stories to share. one of our biggest success stories, I think, recently, and it hasn't gone live yet, but actually NPR picked up one of the items that we publish. And so one of our attorneys is going to, I think, be doing a podcast with NPR as a result.
Ah, awesome.
Yes, which is fantastic. And then one of our other series recently got invited to a conference, and they're looking to be speakers at the conference, which, you know, of course, is a great business development activity and initiative for that group as well.
That is wonderful. Fantastic. So we're running out of time, unfortunately, although I'd love to continue to chat with you, and maybe in the future we'll have you back and you can tell us how this initiative continues to work for you guys. But before I let you go, what word of advice would you have for our listeners who are either considering starting a podcast and videos, or maybe they've started, but they're not really seeing the results they had hoped for?
Yeah. So I think this goes back to what I mentioned earlier about the biggest challenge, right? If you're considering adding new media or multimedia into your marketing and business development strategy, just do it. Don't wait. I actually think it was your recent social law firm index where you surveyed in-house counsel and showed that general counsel actually want more podcasts from law firms. The survey respondents were found to place considerably more value on research and podcasts than all other content, including emails, articles, webinars, and blog posts. I thought that was really interesting to see because, you know, most people, I think, would see so many podcasts being created by law firms that they think the market is saturated. And I don't think that's true, right? Like any initiative, you know, do your best to remain consistent. If you play the role of managing the process like I do, work with your colleagues, make a plan with the attorneys, create a realistic frequency to post episodes, set a schedule and stick to it. This will not only help your team ensure that content is generated, but also benefits your audience. We have received so much feedback from our listeners that they look forward to Thursdays, and specifically Thursday mornings, because they know that they will have a new Lowenstein episode to listen to on their commute on their way to work. And honestly, that's the best feedback that I could hear.
Fantastic. And if people want to subscribe to your podcast, what's the easiest way for them to do that?
Yeah. So lowenstein.com/podcasts. Lowenstein is Lowenstein.
Excellent. And we'll include that as well in the show notes so that if anyone wants to check out some of the podcasts that Rosa and her team have produced, they're able to do that and subscribe to them. Rosa, thank you so much for being on the show. It's so nice to have you here. And like I said, I'd love to have you back maybe in 6 months and see how things are going, check back in with you.
Thank you, Guy. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we love having you. For our audience, if you enjoyed today's episode, please make sure you go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. There you can subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. You can also check out some of our great past podcasts. Rosa, thank you again. It's always great to see you. We wish you the best of luck moving forward. And to our audience, thank you for your time. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we will see you next time.